Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
John, the 16th chapter, verse 7 was our text. Nevertheless, this is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Recapping real quickly, Jesus said he was sending a helper, someone just like him. He said the Spirit of truth is even more vital today. Well, we need truth today. There's a lot of deception that's getting out there even more and more. AI has advantages, it has disadvantages. And one of the disadvantages is it can be deceiving. And then we've not been left as orphans. The Holy Spirit is always with us. And then a big part of his help, we talked about last week, is teaching and reminding us of what God has said. So we want to talk a little bit about this. No one knows the Holy Spirit better than Jesus. I want to look at some verses of what he said about him. I want to continue. No one knew him better. And so in Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 18, says the Spirit, this is Jesus speaking. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. If you leave it up there just for a second. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, a lot of times people think, well, Jesus just walked in complete omniscience. No, Jesus walked as a man anointed and equipped by the Holy Spirit to do what he did. And so here he said the Spirit, listen, if he came in the omniscience and all-powerfulness of God, he wouldn't need the Holy Spirit upon him. So he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. That's equip, we could say equip me. Now, notice he said, preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed. You know, he's still doing that today. That didn't pass away just when Jesus ascended. Same Holy Spirit is there equipping us to preach the gospel to the poor, healing the brokenhearted. You know, God still heals broken hearts. He proclaims liberty to captives. He is still setting people free. He is still recovering of sight to the blind, which means physically blind and also those who are spiritually blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Aren't you glad that God came not to oppress, but to set you free from oppression and free from all that stuff? And so don't read that and go, wow, I wish I could have been back then. No, he's doing that today. He's doing that now. That's the wonderful thing about it. So Jesus was talking about it. And when Jesus was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, some of Jesus' last words were instructions regarding the Holy Spirit's role. He was preparing the disciples. And so in John 16th chapter, verse 7 through 11, now we read first part of this, but I'll read the rest. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. It says, and when he has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world. And let's use the word convince. Convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now let me just go over that real quick, because sometimes people get confused about this. He said the Holy Spirit would be necessary to help them. He will convince the world of sin. Now, I've heard people say this, and it's like, oh, man, I was just so condemned by the Holy Spirit. I messed up, and I'm so condemned by the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit's not the one condemning you. 1 John said that's actually your own heart that's condemning you. How many of you know when you miss it, you don't have to ask anybody, oh, man, did I miss it? You know you missed it. If you had to go, did I sin? You'd know what you did. But listen, the Holy Spirit is not the one condemning you. That's your heart. In fact, you'll find out the Holy Spirit is the one who will help you get back. He said, well, when you say convince the world of sin, Jesus said of sin because they don't believe in me. Now, some of you think back just for maybe years or maybe decades of when before you knew the Lord and someone shared with you and you came under conviction that you were away from God. And you felt convicted and convinced that you weren't a believer. You were lost. Anybody remember that? And you just sense, man, I'm not right. I'm not right. We have it every service. And it's not me preaching hellfire and brimstone. You don't have to preach hellfire and brimstone. Preach the gospel and the Holy Spirit will do the convincing. But the good news is, he's not just going to tell you that you're a horrible sinner and there's no help. He'll just tell you you're away from God, but thank God there's an answer here. And you can believe in the one who will change things. And that righteousness, he'll convince the world of righteousness. Jesus is not here, but he's convinced us of being right with God. And he'll also let you know when you're not right. When I was away from the Lord, I've shared this with you, and I had met Joy, and she was visiting her sister for a couple of weeks down in Clear Lake City. And we went and had an afternoon. I was in sales, and so no self-respecting salesperson works afternoon on Friday. And I'd taken that time off. We'd gone down to Bay Area Park, and I'm looking at Joy. And, excuse me, we just met for a couple of weeks. I said, "You think we have a future together?" She said, "No." She said, "No." She said, and I give her credit because she's very sweet, very, very pleasant personality, but she just looked at me. She said, "The man I marry is going to be the spiritual head of my house." Now, I know what she was saying. Actually, Jesus is the spiritual head of the house, but she wanted a man who would lead and lead in a spiritual way. Did you catch that? Jesus, if you're living in a home right now, if you're a lady and you're living in a home where your husband's not a believer, Jesus is still your head spiritually. Don't miss that. And she said, "No, I just want somebody, you know, spiritually." Now, when she said that, I started to weep. Now, that's not my normal reaction when I got rejected by women. I went to college where the girls outnumbered the guys about almost 2-1. And man, it was good. This was during the disco days. Disco was very, very good to me. But I'd also been rejected before. And the cardinal rule of being a guy is when you get rejected, you don't cry. At least you don't cry in front of them. You might go back to your dorm room and cry, but you don't cry. But I started to weep, and it wasn't weeping because I had been rejected. It was weeping because I was convinced by the Holy Spirit that I was away from God, and I was not right with God, and He was not letting me know that I was hopelessly lost. He was letting me know that all I had to do was turn back to Him, and I turned back to Him on that afternoon. That was about 45 years ago, and I'm really happy that I did it. Amen. And so it worked. And Joy was wrong, married me anyway. We had a future. But I got my act together. The Holy Spirit helped me get there. Then he says he will convince the world of Satan being judged. He says the ruler of this world is judged. Regardless of what you've come out of and regardless of what your background is, and regardless of what you may have done in the past, when the moment you made Jesus your Lord, your background and your past means nothing. Now, it might mean something to the people around you, but to the Lord, it means nothing. And if anyone is in Christ, he is a, and old things have, including who your boss was. Now, I'm not talking about your natural boss. I'm talking about Satan was Lord. But when you came into the kingdom of God, you were delivered from the authority of Satan and transferred into a new kingdom. And so he's not your Lord. He's not the boss. Now, he will tell you he is. But Jesus said he's a liar and the father of lies. I've used this illustration before, and it bears witness because we have people from all walks. If you had a job with a horrible boss, just look straight ahead, don't look at anybody. And any of my staff is giving me nasty looks, I'm gonna get you. But if you had a job with a horrible boss, and then you got a new job, And you went, man, you got a new job, and you were excited. You worked in a great environment, and like here at the Ark, and you're so blessed. And one morning, just about as soon as you're waking up, your phone rings, and you see it's your old boss on the phone. And you pick it up and go, hello, and he starts just giving, what are you doing? You need to get in here and fix this problem. You need to do this. And you start to feel your tension rising until it dawns on you, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You're not the boss of me. You're not going to react the same. You're not going to work there. You don't work there anymore. You're out of that job. You got transferred to another job. It's a better job. He's no longer your boss. He has no authority over you. It's the same way with Satan. If he tries to tell you, you had a bad past and you'll never get over your past and I remember what you did, you have to say, no, 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 you used to be my boss, but I got a brand new boss. I am transferred into the kingdom of God. So that's the difference. And the Holy Spirit will get in agreement with you on that and go, that's right. So something bears witness with you on the inside. You go, that's it. So Jesus was talking about his work. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to, if you have friends who don't know the Lord, you don't have to condemn them. You just need to share with them there's a better way. Let the Holy Spirit work in their life. Telling people, you're going to hell, it's not going to bless them. And it rarely works. So you catch more flies with honey than vinegar anyway. So Jesus was not finished talking about the Holy Spirit. John the 16th chapter, Jesus is talking again. And this is some real key things he says here. John 16. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. These are two wonderful things that the Holy Spirit will do. So Jesus is talking, and he tells these guys, he said, I got a lot to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. You can't handle the truth. And so and they couldn't. At that stage of where they were in their life, they couldn't handle the truth. But the Holy Spirit would step in and continue to help them. So as we're talking about this, and as I was praying about this afternoon, I want to make sure I'm real clear on this. A lot of times people would think, and maybe you come, maybe you're listening or you're watching online, and you think, you know, Alan, all that's great for you because you're a preacher, but I'm just me. No, let me tell you something. Again, there's no tier system here. When you made Jesus your Lord, everything got evened out. And he will help you just as quickly as he will help me. You're going to have to open the door to him. But if you open the door to him, he'll help you. This is why we're teaching about the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times people don't even realize he exists, or they don't want to talk about him, or they think he's kind of like the weird uncle of the Godhead, and he's not. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the helper. He's the comforter. Oh, listen, if we didn't have him, are you kidding? You wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be here. We need him. But you say, well, you know, Alan, I don't work a spiritual job, I work a regular job. He will help you on your regular job. He will help you. Anybody ever think they need help with their family? Or you just got it all together and everything is great with your family. You're like, no, we got it, man. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of us have wondered, what in the world am I going to do about this thing? Thank God there's somebody that knows. And we're not alone. So we don't have to act like it. But listen, open yourself up. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what job you do or don't do. The Holy Spirit's for you. So Jesus was talking, and he said, he will guide you into all truth. Now notice he said he will guide you into truth. He will lead, but if you've ever been, some of you are hunters and you've had a guide, especially if you do some big hunting. I'm not one, but if you have a guide, you typically want to follow the guide because the guide knows where he's going, and you don't. And so you follow the guide. It's wise to follow the guide. Jordan and I went hiking one time in the mountains of North Carolina, and she decided that she would like to lead. She said, "Well, why don't you let me lead?" I'm like, "Okay." Dear Lord, did she get us lost? But it's my fault too, because I was following her. We're going the trail, and the trail got narrower and narrower and narrower, and it got steeper and steeper. I'm pushing her up a hill. I'm like, "This is not a trail. This is a mistake." We wind up in the middle of a concrete area where they were making concrete. I'm looking around going, "Where in the world are we?" So I've learned, you got to watch who you follow. No longer does she. We go hiking, I lead. I drive, I lead. That's how it works. So she ought to drive. No, because I can't sleep with one eye open. That doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit will guide us. He'll guide us into truth. Now, you know, I'm thinking part of the thing is when he guides us into truth, we have to be willing to be guided. And often it means change. Yeah, no woos on that. We went wooless on that. But think about it. He guides us and we have to change. Before we started the church a long time ago, I didn't want to start a church. I'd already tried. It was a colossal failure. And I didn't want to do it again. And so for a long time, I'm looking for a place who wanted a pastor. And I looked, you talk about doors closed. I had doors closed left and right. And I was determined I was not going to start a church. And you say, "Well, what happened? Did the Lord just make you?" No. I got willing to change. And when I told the Lord, "All right," I got so frustrated because I'd hit closed door after closed door. And I finally said, "Lord, if you want me to start a church, I'll start." And all of a sudden, the path opened up. But it didn't open up until I got willing. Big crowd, but they're quiet. I know you're here. I can hear you breathing. But that's a key thing. We have to be willing. I think a lot of times, that's a trust factor. Am I willing to follow the Lord's leading? Yep. Am I willing to go where he wants me to go? Well, if we want to be led, that's how it has to work. Because you want to go, the Bible said, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? If you go to Market Street right now and you go, "Okay, I'm going to this store," and they want to go to that store, well, you're not in agreement. If you're going to get in agreement, you have to walk together. It's a willingness. And if you're willing to be guided into truth, and listen, guys, it happens all the time. You say, "Well, Alan, do we ever get to the place where we don't need to be guided?" No. No. We need to be guided. He will guide you into all truth. And in fact, I was thinking along these lines. When we started the church, 1996, I wore a suit and tie every Sunday. And on Wednesday, I'd go casual. I just wore a tie. And we were in the roller rink, and it was hot, and we had four big, huge fans set up. I'd start to preach. Big fans, trying to move air around. It was hot. Air conditioning didn't work as well. Your dad helped us out. And we just felt impressed to have the third Sunday of the month be casual Sunday. So we went casual Sunday. It didn't dawn. I wasn't quick enough to catch the fact that casual Sunday was always the biggest attended Sunday of the month. But we felt impressed and just felt guided into dropping the dress code. That you didn't have to wear a coat and tie and a suit and tie. Aren't you glad you didn't have to come in here tonight with a suit and tie? You would melt before you got in for the parking lot into here. That's hot. And someone said, Alan, they said, if we're going to do this, you're going to have to lead the way. And so, I just felt like, man, that's almost sacrilegious. I'm not going to wear a coat and tie. It's one of the smartest decisions we ever made. Because what happened then is it broke the barrier down from people feeling like they couldn't come to church. If you ask a lady, lady, I'm picking on you for a second. You ask a lady, hey, why don't you come to my church? What's the first question they're going to ask? What do I wear? And so the answer became, what you got on? And so for these single moms trying to put clothes and shoes on kids, and to have a church wardrobe and a work wardrobe, and it didn't make a lot of sense. We just made it easy. Yeah. Say, man, y'all are smart. No, we were guided into that. We used to do an altar call. Anybody familiar with the term altar call? Altar call is at the end of the service, we would bring, we give an invitation, and if you were going to accept the Lord, you had to come down to the front. And I went to a church in, actually it was in Hawaii. It was a great trip. went to a church in Hawaii and saw they did a little bit of what we do, the yes prayer. And I remember coming back, and I had grown up Baptist, and Baptist, you always walked an aisle. At Lakewood, you always walked an aisle. And so I'm accustomed to, if you don't walk the aisle, and I mean, people are like, man, you don't walk the aisle, how do you get... We stopped. And we went with the yes prayer. And here's what we found out. People were truly, really trying to make two decisions. One, am I going to say yes to Jesus? Two, do I have the guts to get up in front of all my friends and family and walk down that aisle? So we just took one of those decisions away. And we let people raise their hands and acknowledge that and say their prayer. People say, well, you're not making a public profession. Public profession is baptism. Public, you could walk a mile, that's not necessarily a public profession. Public profession is baptism. Because you can't baptize yourself, that's taking a bath. You have to have somebody there to witness. But what I'm saying is, we were stuck in a tradition, and when we broke out of that tradition, our number of decisions tripled. And we still do that today. I caught flack from some of my preacher friends, thought it was the wrong thing to do. No, the Holy Spirit will guide you into truth. He will guide us into what worked for us. And it still does work for us. That's still a great one. He will guide you into truth. He will, we're not going to get to it. We'll do it next week. Because I want to talk about, he will also show you things to come. So he will guide you into all truth through God's word, through messages that you hear, through one another. Somebody may say something to you. You ever just said something to somebody and all of a sudden it just rocked them? They're like, why did you say that? I don't know, just said it. I was sitting next to a girl at Lakewood one time. I was working with the youth. Pastor Osteen said, and don't marry an unbeliever. If you marry an unbeliever, you're unequally yoked. And he was going on and on. And I just looked at the girl next to me. I said, you wouldn't do anything like that, would you? She was a single girl. She blanched. She looked at me afterwards. She said, why'd you say that to me? I said, I don't know. I'm just messing with you. She's like, huh? 2 weeks later, she came back. She said, I was engaged to a guy. He was an unbeliever. She said, when you said that, I realized I was wrong. I broke it off. I'm like, you're welcome. Well, sometimes the Holy Spirit can speak through people that you don't want him to speak through. You can hear something, you're like, no, I didn't go. No, he's gone. We were all cramped in the roller rink one time. And we were thinking, what are we going to do? We had built it with interior walls. And we had a lady in our church, bless her heart. She pulled all the pastoral grace out of me that I had in me. And she was standing around with us. And she just looked at me and said, why don't you just knock these walls out? And walked off. And I went, oh God, that was you. Why'd you have to use her? It was a God idea. He'll guide you into all truth if you're willing. Would you bow your head for a second? You came this evening and maybe that first part I talked about, and that's you I'm talking to, and you're like, I know in my heart I'm not right with the Lord. What a wonderful night to get right. We're going to say a prayer. We're not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. Maybe you've never made Jesus your Lord. You're not sure, or you have and you've walked away. So this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you that I'm talking to, would you just slip your hand up real quick, wave it at me, say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I got you. Thank you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. You can pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray it out loud online. If you're by yourself, pray it with us out loud. If you're with others, pray quietly. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you for their heart. Thank you for their heart for you, for those online, for those here. Thank you that you heard it, you answered it. Thank you for new life. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for forgiveness. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.